B-Pod Studios.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
At least Arrieta's going to pick up his option.
He's going to get paid $20+ million, so he's going to be back. I'm just interested to see if these guys in the minor leagues do come up next year. There will be a battle during spring training because they're not going to sign three very good starting pitchers, right? Yeah. Like Jason Vargas pitched well last night. If he continues to pitch well the rest of the season, you might as well hold on to him. It's only $8 million. You could buy him out for $2 million, but if he pitches well, he could be your fourth or fifth starter.
Yeah.
The Drew Smyly thing, he had two good starts, and then he got crushed in his last start.
But you know what he is. He came in and he wrote a little bit of adrenaline.
So you're really going to tell me that Drew Smyly is going to be on this rotation next year?
No.
I really hope not, because then you're really scraping the bottom of the barrel. So if Nola's your number one, Arrieta's your number three, let's just say.
You got to go ahead and get like a Bumgarner.
And Vargas is your five. Then you need a two and a four. Could it be Bumgarner? Could be. I would love Garrett Cole. He's going to cost you a lot of money. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of pitchers out there that are available that could cost you a lot of money. But you also have guys in the minor leagues right now, a guy like Spencer Howard, who's pitching well in the minors. Adonis Medina is getting better in the minors. You have other young arms down there that are moving up in the system. Do you want to go into a season with this talented lineup with young pitchers, or are you going to go on another spending spree? That's the big question.
Yeah, what's the plan of attack, and do you have faith in whatever plan they choose that it's the right one under Matt Klentak and Andy McPhail? And the other thing is, you go into next season, you got McCutchen back, because he'll be back next year, healthy and ready to go. But you're right. Do you go back into next season with that pitching staff and going, I'm putting eggs in an unknown commodity basket or a bad basket? Or do I go out and I try and spend it again, spend the money, go out and get Bumgarner? That's why missing out on Patrick Corbin last year was a big deal. I mean, that's a big deal, because not only did you not get him and you could use Patrick Corbin, but you also went to a division rival. That already got good pitching. Now, Strasburg's a free agent, right?
No, he signed a big contract.
Or not Strasburg.
No, they're all...
Those three are locked up?
They're taken care of.
Well, I saw a story about something with Strasburg maybe...
He signed an extension, I don't know if it was during spring training or right before spring training, but he's under contract. I don't know how many more years Scherzer's on, but I think he's still a free agent, or he's still under contract. Strasburg's under contract till 2024.
Okay.
So they got that taken care of.
Yeah, well, when you got those three at the top of your rotation.
And Tyler Zuli is letting me know is Scherzer's 2021. So you still have all of next season with those three guys, those three horses with that very talented offense.
But the crazy thing is they've had good pitching and they haven't capitalized on it in years. It's been years now.
Well, that's why I still think they're dangerous. Obviously, the Dodgers are the best team in the National League, but who has a better shot against the Dodgers in the first round? Is it the Nationals or is it the Phillies? It's Washington, because they have three very good starting pitchers. Three of them, you could make the case, could be aces on many teams in the league.
Look at the Mets. Same thing.
Yeah.
The Mets. They can throw at
arms.
Yeah. And what do the Phillies have? Nola.
They have Nola. Well, Jason Vargas looked good yesterday.
You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEM, Burlington, Philadelphia. We're a Beasley Media Group station, and we're broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast.
It's time now for the Bring the Heat line.
It's hot, damn hot.
I don't want a hot take.
Pump your ass.
Bring the Heat is brought to you by American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Is your AC revved up and ready for summer? Visit AmericanStandardAir.com to find an experienced heating and air conditioning dealer near you.
Okay.
To leave a message for Anthony and Jason, call 610-771-9751.
I want to see people rip their heart out of their chest.
Now, bring the heat.
Let's go.
All right, let's go. 610-771-9751. That's where you leave your messages. And when you do, we find the best of the best. Tyler was on the duty today, and I'm sure he found some gems. So let's see what he got.
It is now Thursday night, and the Kings have won two in a row against the Chicago Cubs. There's 45,000 fans in the seats, and they are going absolutely crazy. We won, Charlie.
You got him.
Well, did he say win two in a row or lose two in a row? I couldn't hear what he said.
I think he said win.
So if they win two in a row, why are we... I guess you can... If they lose two in a row, they might be chant for Charlie.
Yeah, he could...
When did the Charlie's chant start? It's hard to say.
Tonight.
The Charlie chants. Apparently the chant last night.
The Charlie Chaplin chant tonight. You get it tonight. And you got Hamels going tonight. A lot of nostalgia in the park tonight.
I thought you don't believe in nostalgia.
I don't. But there will be a lot of nostalgia there.
Are you going to feel a little nostalgic tonight?
Now, if Cole goes out and is pitching a gem and, like, mowing guys down, does he get an applause tonight? You got a team that needs to win games in a wild card chase.
He will.
That's a violation.
He will. It is, but he will.
Yeah, when he's the...
I think the bats will get booed, but then let's say they take him out mid-inning, and he pitched well that game.
So he goes 8 1/3.
He's still going to get a standing ovation.
Ugh. You can't do that if he's having success against your team. He goes 8 1/3, got 9 strikeouts, and they're up 5-1, and he gets cheered? That's a stone violation.
Oh, it's going to happen, though.
Give him his cheers before the game when he's introduced, and then forget it. He's now an opposition player.
And the excuses will be, well, I don't really think the Phillies team is going to do anything anyway, so...
Yeah, you can't have that mentality. I think that's you cannot do that. It's like Utley hits the home run, they give him a curtain call.
Yeah.
Against you.
Well, now, at that point, and I wasn't okay with it, at that point, the Phillies were a terrible baseball team. Mm. I mean, Tommy Joseph was playing first base for you, Darren Ruff was on that team. Like, that was a bad baseball team.
Oh, my goodness.
But this one, you're still in a hunt for a playoff.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Ooh. Jason. Thank you for having my back today. This is Gabriel from Napa Valley. I've heard you defending me on the radio, Jason, and I just wanted to invite you to my private peach farm in Napa for a private tour. I have a pair of peaches for you, Jason, and plenty of coconut oil to go around. Oh, my!
Oh, my is right. I love a peach. Me and Dwayne Allman eat a peach.
Speaking of the coconut oil, the fiance has been using it for the pan. When she cooks.
Oh, she's cooking coconut oil?
With coconut oil.
Yeah.
And when I saw it in the kitchen,
oh my,
I said, do you know what this means for me?
Yeah.
You brought coconut oil into my house. A house that dislikes Gabe Kapler. You bring in coconut oil into this house.
We don't need. Can we just go with a little olive oil, please? How about a little canola?
Love a canola.
Not
canola.
Aaron Noah.
Listen, Jason, I love you. But we don't need to see what Carson Wentz looks like in the preseason. We don't need to see him knock off the rust. For what? We don't need anything to happen to our number one quarterback. Now that Sudfeld is out, this is a big thing. The preseason means nothing. Zero. Nada.
All right. I don't disagree with you that it means nothing. I know. But, look, I'm not going to treat him like I'm scared. I'm not going to play him a ton. I'll put him in there. He's getting protection. I go, all right, well, maybe leave him a little longer.
All right, let me ask you. Are you putting him
in? I'm going for a half, though.
Are you putting him in if it's Dillard at left tackle, Wisniewski at left guard? Is he even healthy right now? Let's just say Wisniewski at left guard. Whoever's getting snaps at center after Jason Kelsey. Matt Pryor's out there and Vitae's out there. Are you still playing him? Wentz in the preseason?
Maybe not. You're not painting a great picture of protection there for me.
But none of those guys are healthy. Jason Peters isn't healthy. Yeah. Lane Johnson isn't healthy. Jason Kelsey didn't play in the last game. Brandon Brooks isn't playing. Yeah. So if 4/5 of your starters are not even healthy enough to play in the preseason, you're not going to put Carson out there. And I want Carson to get reps, but I'm not going to do it if the entire starting line that will be playing week one can't get out on preseason week two.
All right.
The Philly season ends. And immediately, Kapler gets fired, and Charlie is named new coach, new manager. The job's going to roll. And if they do good, you got Charlie there to, you know, infuse some wisdom into the, oh my.
Ooh.
You better take that wisdom or he's a...
Hey, where's this, oh my? Could you see Charlie?
I wish I was a fly on the wall.
This one's for you, Gabe.
I like, because we know, and we'll play the audio after Bring the Heat. Rob Motti asked the question. Gabe hasn't even spoken to Charlie yet. So I want to be a fly on the wall in that conversation, because first, Gabe is going to ask Charlie why he doesn't like the team's approach at the plate.
Yeah.
And then it's just the two of them, one man way West Coast, one man Midwest. And the two of them sound totally different. They speak totally different. I wonder what that conversation's like.
Baseball approach is totally different.
But I have no idea what Tweaver is.
But we were told that their approach is very similar.
Yeah, that's a lie.
Yeah, that is an outright lie for sure. It's nice.
Are you kidding me, John Middleton? Fire the Three Stooges and bring Charlie back as the manager. He can be the manager and hitting coach. Don't have him working there with that moron. It ain't going to work. Sorry, not going to work. Until you get rid of that three goals, we're still going to suck.
Well, you can make the case that until you get better players, you're going to suck. Until you get a pitching staff that is not one deep in Aaron Nola, you're going to suck. So is that on Gabe or is that on Matt Klentak?
Listen, man, I don't know why you're out on Jason Vargas.
Get enough of this Vargas.
Vargas. I'm trying to see what his stats are just as a member of the Phillies this season.
He's been here for a cup of coffee.
He's doing better than Drew Smyly already. Listen, he may be...
Oh, jeez.
He may be 0-1.
Why don't we compare him to Roy Halladay next?
He may be 0-1. His ERA may be 4.15. But he was a reason why you won that game yesterday,
Jason. You're trolling me now. You're trolling me. Stop it.
Yeah, Gabe, well, you said, when Charlie was in his heyday. Oh, yeah, well, that heyday is coming out. And that heyday may just take your job. If you were putting on a free clinic, I wouldn't bring my son to see you. I would pay good money to sit with my son one day and hear Charlie just tell stories. So what does that tell you?
Well, I think a lot of people feel the same as you. I'm a big Charlie fan. I like Charlie.
Let's see if he turns things around in 43 games.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if he's able to, I'm a little skeptical about that. You know, fixing an entire mental approach in season, that's like kind of easier said than done, right?
Yeah. Yes. And that's why I don't want to be, that's why I keep on saying, I don't want to be a wet blanket, but is Charlie Manuel really going to be able to flip a switch in the next 43 games?
Yeah.
You know, Andrew dropped a line yesterday, which is probably the best stat ever. About Bryce Harper being like 486 when swinging at the first pitch he sees. Mm-hmm. And you know what Gabe Kapler says yesterday after the game? Oh, it was great to see Bryce Harper take 11 pitches. And then guess what? Strike out. This is the problem. That's it. Right there. It's Gabe Kapler.
Well, that's a good point because you're finding the silver line. Well, he saw all those pitches even though he struck out. So
yeah, Bryce Harper yesterday went 0-for-4 with two strikeouts. Yes, he saw 11 pitches, but he went 0-for-4 with two strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
And with 3-2 counts this season, when putting the ball in play or just striking out like he did twice yesterday, he's hitting .075.
Wow, that is crazy.
So I get the idea of working the count on a pitcher. Mm-hmm. I get that. But you still struck out 14 times yesterday against their starting pitcher. 14 times. I don't give a damn how many pitches you saw. You struck out 14 times.
Yeah, that is nuts.
So you may see a lot of pitches, but if you can't hit the damn ball, what does it really do for you? Yes, it eventually takes the pitcher out of the game. That pitcher yesterday, Quintana, could only go 6 innings. So great. And you end up scoring 2 more runs after he left. But is that a winning strategy every single night?
No.
No.
And that's why you are where you are. All right. I get it, Andrew. You make a nice case.
I make the best case there is.
All right. 610-771-9751. Leave your messages there for Bring the Heat. And it's brought to you by American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Is your air conditioner keeping your house cool in the end of the summer heat? Well, visit AmericanStandardAir.com. You'll find an experienced heating and air conditioning dealer near you. Hit the line tonight, 610-632-0975. That's the number to get in. Let's get... So we've had some interesting dialogue today. Most of it's been centered around the Phillies.
Yes.
And the appointing of a Charlie Manuel as the hitting coach. A little bit of Eagles conversation in there as well. And even a little bit of online social media
Facebook
behavior.
Stuff. Yeah. Now, do you want to hear the audio? From
yeah, I do want to hear this. It's the Rob Motti question.
Yeah, so yeah. It comes after the philosophy question. They asked how, like, because Matt Klentak, when he made his opening statement, he said, I want it to be clear, we're not getting rid of the new school and bringing in the old school just because, he says, that's the simple approach of looking at it, because We're getting rid of a new school guy like John Maley and bringing an old school guy like Charlie. No, their philosophies are pretty similar, he said. So Rob Motti then asked the question because Rob actually spoke with Charlie about 2 weeks ago, and listen to the question and also listen to the answer.
Right. I spoke to Charlie last week, and he said the biggest problem he saw with the offense was too many players walking up to the plate, uppercutting, looking to hit a home run. Has that been communicated to you? Is that what something that you see? And was that lost in the message between what John was trying to preach?
Oh, that's interesting. First, I haven't had a chance to talk to Charlie about what he thinks the biggest issues are with our offense. But, you know, circling back to Matt's point, you know, those teams that Charlie was the hitting coach of, the Indians teams, those guys hit bombs. Not saying that that's where Charlie will go with this, and certainly he's going to get all the support he needs to take this in the right direction. But, yeah, I think I'd probably wait to have that conversation with Charlie before I get too deep into it.
So Charlie's been with this team all season, really. And you could have sat down at a couple of points this year when your team wasn't scoring runs and could only put together like five hits in a 15-inning game. You had a couple opportunities to talk to Charlie. And now that he's a member of your coaching staff, maybe you should have talked to him right away.
Well, you would think they would have had a conversation prior.
Yes, you would think that, but that's not the case. And it's just great how Matt Klentak goes, oh, the philosophies are the same. And then Rob comes out with that saying,
yeah,
hey, Charlie doesn't really agree with the things you guys are doing.
It's crazy. Insane. It's just starting to look a little, not a little, but pretty dysfunctional.
It is, and I
get
where you're saying.
The owner's pulling strings. It's starting to look a little dysfunctional.
You said it in the 10 a.m. hour.
Look, I know what that looks like, man. I just saw it with the hockey team this summer.
Yeah, and you said it's not normally a good thing, especially midseason.
Yeah.
I think it's a good thing for August 13th when it happened yesterday, August 14th today. It's not going to blow up in their face, right? It's already bad. The hitting has been poor and below expectations all season long. So it can't really get any worse at this point. If anything, get better. So is the move a bad move? No, I don't think so. Is it a move of desperation? Yes, I do, because they are only just two games out. But maybe it helps out, and maybe it pushes them to the next level. Who knows?
All right. I like that. 610-632-0975. Christian in Philly's on the Fanatic. Hey, Christian.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, buddy?
You got a young buck on the phone here. I'm only 19, but I'm a 4-for-4 Philly fan, and I was raised right. And there's just two points I want to talk about. So, first of all, the Phillies with Gabe Kapler, that one note that he said when the reporters all laughed at him, it makes me think like he like cares about his fitness more than the Phillies sometimes. Like I hate how. Like, I lost my train of thought there. I'm sorry, but bear with me here. And anyway, my second point was
good. First point.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry, but I'm just nervous right now because I'm on my air. But
don't worry, man.
My second point is, remember how everyone was hating on the Eagles like D-backs because of like the double move and everything on Jalen Mills and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well. That I was telling everyone that's because Jim Schwartz wants them to be aggressive, and he's been sounding like all of his cornerbacks, like he loves the defense to stay aggressive on those moves. So like that's why, like it's not all on Jalen Mills' fault and like all the.
I think some of it is instincts though on the field.
Yeah, I mean he's jumping the route.
Like Jim Schwartz isn't in their ear mid play.
Yeah, and philosophically, you don't see other players with the same problem. You know what I mean? Like, that's a weakness of Jalen Mills' game.
Yes.
And they exploit it. Until he shows that he's not going to bite on the double move, it's going to happen.
Yeah, Jim Schwartz has his problems. I actually like Jim Schwartz more than a lot of people, but it's not his fault that Jalen Mills is biting on double moves.
Yeah.
It's just not.
Joey in South Philly's on the Fanatic. What's up, Joe? Joey. Joe's not ready. Let's try Pat Nambler. Pat, what's going on, buddy?
Jason, Andrew, what's going on, buddy?
It's happening, man.
What's going on, guys? Hey, listen, Jason, in a couple months, I can't wait to start talking puck with you, brother. Can't wait. I'm all fired up already.
I love it, man.
Yeah. But let's get back to business here and talk a little baseball. I don't think this plan's going to work because the worst thing for the Phillies, for me, is for them being at NL East right now. I just think the pitching around the division is just too good right now with the Braves, the Mets, and the Nationals. I just don't think Charlie's going to be able to do anything. I just think they're just loaded up all around the division, and it's just this is what we're going to see for years to come with the Braves and stuff running the division. And there's no needle moving with me right now, even with Bryce. And the Nationals prove they don't even need them. So, I mean, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, well, look, right now, you see what's happening. He left the Washington situation. They're doing just fine.
Yeah.
They got young players coming. I keep bringing it up, Andrew. I keep bringing it up that these other teams are all bringing young guys up.
They got a nice pipeline.
Nice pipeline.
I mean,
where's our pipeline going?
You really think that Troy Emmanuel is going to be able to compete with the Groms and the Syndergaards and the Scherzers? I mean, I'm hoping he's going to change things around. But, I mean, those guys are just too good right now. And like I said, the worst spot for the Phillies to be is in the NL East. It's pitcher heavy right now. Until the Phillies fix that issue, that side of the ball, then this is what's going to be for here on out. And I'm not happy with it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Pat, we'll see how it plays out. Again, like Andrew, you and I have talked about it. There's 43 games left. I don't know how much of an impact you can have in that short of a period of time.
No, I don't think it's that much of an impact. But at the same time, Pat, it's not like you're facing the Mets every single night, right? You do have to face the Mets a couple more times before the season's over. You have to face the Mets a couple more times before the season's over. But there's other games in there, like the Pirates. And even though they can't beat the Marlins this year, maybe Charlie Manuel makes them a team that can beat the Marlins. But there's teams coming up that you can beat. You can beat the Padres. You can beat the Marlins. You can beat the Pirates. You can beat the Reds. They'll still be in it as the season goes on.
Yeah, but you just said too, Andrew, even with bad teams, they're not even putting them away. I mean, they're getting taken care of by the bad teams.
Yeah, they're 6-7 against the Marlins this year. But the last time they played the Marlins was in June, so maybe that changes a little bit next time they face them.
All right, Andrew, I'm taking your word, brother. You guys have a good afternoon.
All right, Pat, you going to FanFest?
Oh, heck yeah, no doubt.
All right, brother. I'll see you there. All right, Pat from here. Pat, what's going on, buddy? So the schedule, tonight's really kind of a cool gem, though.
Yeah.
You get Noah Hamels tonight.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's a good game tonight. And then tomorrow, Smiley versus Darvish. Then you're San Diego for 3 at home. That's Velasquez, Arrieta, and then Vargas going. Then you go to Boston for 2. Nola Sale.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Sale's been pitching very well.
And then Miami for 3, then come back home to wrap up the month of August with 3 against the Pirates, 3 against the Mets. And we'll see what the Mets are. Still able to, if they're still hot at that point.
They've lost 2 straight, but I mean, they're still just 2 games out of the wild card, same record as the Phillies.
Yep.
And they still, as Pat brought up, they still have that rotation.
Yeah. Then they're going to go on the road 4 in Cincinnati, 3 in New York, and 4 against the Braves at home, 2 against Boston, 3 against the Braves.
That 4 against the Braves at home, so it's September 9th through the 12th.
Yeah.
I get that there are still, 3 weeks after that? That could be a series where you figure out whether or not this team is real or not.
Yeah. And then you look at that one series where they had the 5-gamer in Washington because of the rained out games a while back.
That's wild card implications right there.
Oh, huge.
If you win 3 of 2, so right now you're 3 games back of that top spot. Now all of a sudden you're 2 games back. If that 5-game series began today and you won, not 3 of 2, 3 of 5. So you go 3-2 in that 5-game series. But if you can go 4-1 in those 5 games.
Oh, it's huge.
Or if
double meaning games.
Or if you drop 4 out of the 5, you're out pretty much. The Nationals pretty much solidify the first wild card spot.
Yep.
That series is going to be huge, too.
Yeah, the crazy thing about that is that Thursday, the last game of that series, September 26th, is a Thursday. Game's at 4 o'clock. Right into Eagles-Packers that night. Thursday night football at Lambeau.
And then I drive down to Ocean City, Maryland the next day for the bachelor party.
Oh, is that right?
So I might have to...
You can make a week of it.
Oh, no, it's in D.C. Oh, and they're in Lambeau.
Yeah, in Lambeau. Yeah, you got no home games.
So I'm going to have to...
Settle up to a bar.
That's what I'm going to be doing.
Doubleheader Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
610-632-0975. That is the number to get in. A couple open lines. Grab them now. 610-632-0975. It's the Midday Show. That's Andrew. In for Anthony, Jason Martinez with you. And we're right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Midday Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Somebody posted on the page, the United Nations of Eagles fans, since only nerds wear another man's jersey, according to John earlier, and everybody's posting their pictures in the jerseys. So now the members of the site are the nerds.
So Revenge of the Nerds.
Bird Gang, Nerd Gang. Says Daniel. Bird Gang, Nerd Gang.
Bird Gang, Nerd. Now, did you make it official? Is that guy out?
No, I haven't banned him yet. I'm going to do a ceremonial banning at the end of the show.
You're going to pour one out?
He's still like doubling down.
You going to pour one out or something?
No.
We still got the Jack and Ginger?
No. Look, I'm not wasting Jack and Ginger on that idiot.
I mean, I would still drink it. It's not a waste. It's making me feel good.
It's unreal. He's still doubling down. Oh, my goodness. What a shame. 610-632-0975. Let's get back to the phones. And, oh, let's go to Angry Al. I know. Here we go. Angry Al. What's going on? He's got it on mute.
Mikey Miss.
Angry Al. You got to take it off mute, brother. All right, we'll put Al on hold.
That's
not ready. I haven't heard from him in a while.
I know.
Might have been his best call. What's up, Bill?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Listen to the show all the time.
Thank you.
I just wanted to call in and talk about the Eagles and how expensive they are in the team this year. I think a lot of people don't realize how good Carson Wentz is, and I see a bunch of these quarterback lists, and it's kind of disrespectful for him, I think.
I think they forget how good he is.
Yeah, if you look back to his first season, he wasn't the starter going into the year, and he still went into the year, still led him to 8-8 or 7-9, and Lane Johnson was suspended for, what, 5 games that year? And he's throwing to people who are out of the league right now. So he comes into the next year, he has better wide receivers, better chemistry with him, and he goes and almost becomes an MVP. Rather, he probably would have if he didn't get hurt. And then last year, I mean, he's coming off an ACL, 9 months, hurts his back, and he still goes 21 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. I mean, I just think that a lot of people are disrespecting him on their lists, and I'm just really excited.
Yeah, I mean, the injury thing is a red flag, obviously, but that shouldn't, just because he's been injured doesn't make him a bottom 10 quarterback.
No, and I'm pretty sure Tom Brady got injured in his career. I'm pretty sure a lot of great quarterbacks have been injured before in their career. I just think a lot of it's ridiculous, and everybody's living in the now and putting Baker Mayfield ahead of him, and it's kind of laughable sometimes looking at the list.
Well, the thing is, Bill, like his stock right now is kind of volatile because of the injury thing, but if you just sit back, let him establish this year again, be a top 3 NFL quarterback, MVP race, all will be good.
It's a good thing being an Eagles fan and knowing how good he is from the inside, you know, and just wait for him to prove everybody wrong this year, I think.
Well, that's the thing. He's a motivated guy. He's in that shadow right now of Nick Foles, even though Foles is gone. The heir of Nick Foles still looms here. And the thing you got to remember, and it's almost weird to even think of it this way, but he's entering his fourth year, Carson Wentz. He hasn't played a playoff game.
Yeah.
Hadn't played in a single playoff game yet.
You know what? We have the audio. Sal Pal actually did a sit-down with Carson, and it was like a 3-4-minute sit-down. And one of the things he asked was the Nick Foles thing, the rearview mirror, and Carson was like, oh, no, I'm never looking back, even though, let's face it.
Yeah.
He is. It's kind of
a moment of weakness.
It's kind of hard not to.
Yeah.
Can you blame the guy for it? No, because the guy won you a Super Bowl, and then the guy almost got you to another one if Alshon Jeffrey makes that catch, and then you beat the Rams. But one of the questions that Sal asked him was, listen, Doug Peterson said the new norm 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And you haven't been really a part of the new norm come January.
You're
in it during the regular season, but come January, that's not you.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting because, you know, playoffs in sports, especially the NFL, because it's a one and done. I mean, you start the game at 1 o'clock and somebody's season's ended by 4:30, right?
Right.
So you don't know how that's going to affect any athlete. He seems a guy that's equipped to handle that kind of situation. But hey, until you do it, there's always a question mark there, especially when the guy last couple of years, your backup, did it. It's even more pressure.
So you want to hear the audio? Sal Pal asked him about the new norm.
Yeah, let me hear it.
You know, when Doug said, this is the new norm, get used to this, we're going to be playing in January and February, I was thinking of you, because I'm sure you're thinking, man, I can't wait to play in January and February, yeah, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, that was something that, you know, we said in post-Super Bowl and everything, but it is what we expect around here. You know, it's the culture that we have, it's the expectations of of this city and this fan base. Everybody knows that, but this culture of that coach sets first and then the leaders on this team, we fully expect to be playing late into the season, and it starts right here in training camp. And obviously on the personal side, like you said, I mean, I'm chomping at the bit to get my opportunity to play into January and everything as well.
Yeah, look, gotta stay upright, and that's going to be a big key. But
throw the ball away.
Yeah,
slide.
Live to fight another day, Carson. Paul in Havertown's on the Fanatic. What's up, Paulie?
Hey, Jason, Andrew, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, when you're talking about the Phillies, I mean, you hear so many people talk, and it's just like flight of ideas with Gabe. But how could Charlie, bringing him on, hurt this team? I mean, if it doesn't help, who cares? It's a dumpster fire.
And yeah, the risk reward here works out perfectly because you're right.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you got John Maley was like the god of hitting, and all of a sudden you lost.
No kidding. And here's the thing, we love him, it's funny though when you have Charlie, who obviously is very good at teaching hitting, has to notify people that their problem is uppercuts. When I'm Joe Schmo. And I knew that.
Yeah.
So who's evaluating this hitting that they need someone to say launch angle equates to uppercuts? Why are these guys, what happened to see the ball, keep your elbow up, drive through the ball, and hit your home runs by making good contact? Gabe Kapler is so very frustrating.
Well, that's not just Gabe, though, Paul. That whole launch angle, that's an organizational philosophy.
And I agree with that. Maybe I put too much of an onus on Gabe. Mm-hmm. And Klintak obviously has a lot to do with this. But the thing is, you got guys like Mikel Franco, you got Hoskins. These guys are good hitters. There's no reason. Like, Mikel Franco, obviously your approach was failing with him. You know, he had decent numbers last year. He had good numbers batting out of the eight hole. And you can't make that guy work, and he's a good fielder. They got to get these guys right. If they get them right, you can address the pitching. They can, at this point, and Charlie, you now are not rooting for them to lose so they get rid of Gabe and possibly Klintak. Now you can root for them to try and get that wild card spot and maybe do something. I don't know, but I see Gabe as so annoyingly frustrating. It's not even funny.
Look, he hasn't been great, Paul. Thanks for the call. Gabe has not been great. But when the general manager and the president, this Andy McPhail, I'll tell you, this guy with his aloof, well, if we win, we win. If we don't, we don't. Absolutely. It'll be fine. Sun will come up tomorrow. You can bet your bottom dollar. You know that whole thing? He's like Annie,
Yes.
That whole thing, when you give the manager of the team that garbage rotation, that garbage bullpen, that flawed lineup, and I know McCutchen got hurt, so, okay, you had a leadoff hitter and a guy that could play center field, but he's hurt right now. But when you give that to the manager, and then you make those stupid statements like Klintak made, like, hey, if we're going to get to the playoffs, it's going to be those guys. We made a splash this offseason. Those guys in that room are going to determine what we do. And you give them that rotation, if I'm in that clubhouse, I'm like, what are you, serious, dude? You went to Dartmouth. You got to be a smart guy. You got to know that rotation sucks.
I agree with some of it because I do think Harper is not playing to the expectations that we had. Mm-hmm. Hoskins is playing well below than what we expected. But you're right to the point to say, yeah, you can't put it all on Jason Vargas and Drew Smyly.
Yeah, it's not their fault. They're not great players. It's the general manager's fault. And again, we talked about it earlier in the show. I bring it up all the time, ad nauseum, that the biggest crime of this is during the time that they sucked from 2012 until now, they didn't build up a farm system. And I'm not talking about a farm system where players or pitchers can come in and contribute for them right now. That's not the problem. The problem is that they have such little in the cupboards in the farm system to use as trade chips to get guys either in the offseason or at the deadline. That's the crime in it, that you can't take these a good prospect pool and turn that into players that can help you now or that could have helped them at the deadline this year or sometime this season by acquiring pitching, either a closer. I mean, there was two guys out there, Keuchel and Kimbrel. You didn't have to give up anything for them.
Yeah.
And they passed on both of them.
That still is a mistake. Even though they're not pitching all that great, hindsight.
It's better than what they have.
Hindsight, they're not pitching all that great, right?
Yeah.
But at the time, their biggest thing was, we don't want to give up pieces for somebody that we're not going to have long term. Well, as soon as Keuchel said, I'll do it for 1 year for $13 yep. million, you should have jumped on it.
610-632-0975. Angry Al's back. We'll talk to him coming up. And he's going to go with the same rant he went with about the Eagles, that John DeFilippo is going to be the next coach. I guarantee it. It's the Midday Show. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Gargano and Mertidis. Middays on 97.5 The Fanatic. Gargano and Mertidis Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic. 97.5 The Fanatic.
1 o'clock hour brought to you by the Rothenberg Law Firm. Philly proud and Philly strong for over 49 years. To find out more, visit injurylawyer.com. All right, let's get to him. We went to him before, but he wasn't ready. I think he had the phone on mute, but he joins us now. Angry Al in Norristown. Angry Al, what's going on?
What's up, gentlemen? How you been?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
I can't complain.
You picking up Bernie and coming to FanFest?
Yeah, I'm coming.
Are you going to pick up Bernie?
I will if you want me to.
Who?
I don't know if he can come. I'll have to check in with him, though. I'll let you know.
Yeah, all right. So, I agree. It's Klintak, okay? For this conversation, we'll let Gabe off the hook, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you suggest?
What do you mean, what do I suggest?
So should Klintak stay?
Probably not.
Okay, so now I go back to my other point. If you're going to get rid of him, how do you keep Gabe after that?
Well, that's the thing. If you hire a new manager or general manager, you got to let him hire his manager.
Right, he's going to want his own manager.
Yeah, that's the trickle-down effect. It always is.
All right, so no matter how you put it, it's time for Gabe to go because it's time for Klintak to go. So the pair of them can go lay in the
What about McPhail, too? Because look, Jason Stark, we played the cut earlier saying that Middleton's is furious. And, you know, McPhail's out there going, if we make it, we make it. If we don't, we don't.
I know. That's what I'm saying. He says, you make it, you don't, you don't. Then Klintak turns around yesterday and says, we're only 2 games out of wild card. Well, you can't have it both ways.
Yeah, and you're sinking like a lead balloon, too.
Yeah. So, to me, all three of them could go as far as I'm concerned. I never wanted them to hire Gabe from the gate. So, you know, I'm getting to that point where I'm like, I told so. But,
yeah, sure. But you know too, Angry Al, like you've seen it happen before. If a coach or a manager doesn't have the right assets, the right roster, the right pitching staff in baseball, the right rotation, then how's he going to have success?
Yeah, but
Klintak sat him with Dreck.
They knew they had bad pitching when they hired Gabe. They knew going into the season they had bad pitching.
No, they didn't know that. They doubled down on those guys, Eflin and Velasquez and Pivetta and Eichhoff.
So you thought they were all good?
No, I didn't. They did.
No, but that's what I'm saying. No, they didn't. Not for real, they didn't. They just thought they were going to be able to get away with it. And then they got all the injuries on top of it. So, yeah, you're right. They set themselves up to be in this position.
Yeah.
But Gabe has not done anything to help the team get out of this position. And I don't think they care about him. I don't think they have any respect for him.
Who, the players?
Yeah.
You saw that story. Thanks for the call. You saw that story last week that Bob Nightingale put out, and players had nice things to say about Gabe, but it's easy to say nice things about Gabe to a reporter. What's being said in that clubhouse when there's not a microphone or a reporter around? That we'd all love to know that answer.
Yeah, I wonder what those exit interviews are going to be like. Because obviously they ask about the coach, right? Like, whether it's Matt Klintak or John Middleton, somebody's going to say, how do you like playing for Gabe? Or what do you think about Gabe? And sometimes I'm sure players lie, right? They're just going to say,
they don't want to ruffle feathers. But there's other guys that stand up and say,
Jake Arrieta.
Yeah.
He'll speak out.
Yep.
He doesn't care.
He's complained about him publicly about the shift behind him and called out young players like Kingery. But, like, that's the one thing, too. Like, they need some leadership here. Like, Bryce Harper, he's getting paid to be a leader. Now, I don't know what he's like behind closed doors in that clubhouse. But they need some leadership in that clubhouse.
Yeah, there's a lot of times where you can see they look lost on the field.
Yeah.
It happens a lot. I remember, what series was it? It was before the White Sox series. I was at one of the games, and Gene Segura is kicking the ball around. Hernandez missed a ground ball, and it rolled about 3 feet behind him in the outfield. Instead of running after it, he stared at Scott Kingery to run after it when Scott Kingery had to run a football field's length to pick up the baseball. Like, it's stuff like that where they just don't look like they're really involved in the game at this point.
Yeah.
And I think that does come back to a manager, or it does come back into a lack of leadership, but it seems to happen way too often with this team.
Yeah. They need leadership. There's no doubt about it. All right, Mikey Miss is coming up next, but we got to do a ceremonial blocking and get John out of the group. The United Nations of Eagles fans, the people have spoken. Again, John, this is not my decision. This is through council of the membership.
Yes.
The charter chapter members, the nerds who wear Eagle jerseys, as you have termed them, the nerd gang, bird gang nerd gang, has decided that they do not want you and your toxic environment as part of the United Nations of Eagles fans. So with this click of the mouse, I will confirm that John Alice is no longer a member of the United Nations of Eagle fans. And there's only one thing left to be said, Andrew.
I won't see him no more.
There you go.
Bye-bye, John.
There you go.
Bye-bye, John.
I thought that was an easy decision before his call.
Yeah, but I had to bring it to the people, to the constituents. Yeah, and they have spoken.
That phone call didn't help him out very much.
No, that didn't help him at all. All right, now, Mikey Miss up next to two. Handoff brought to you by Philadelphia Hand and Shoulder Center. Specialized care for all hand, wrist, arm, elbow, and shoulder injuries and conditions. For more info, visit hand2shouldercenter.com. All right, Mike's got Tim McManus training camp report today. Is Jason Stark today, or Jason came on yesterday?
He came on yesterday.
All right, so stay tuned, Mikey Miss, on a General Knowledge Wednesday right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.